Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why is Michael Irvin worried about the Cowboys' offense changing? We'll get into that at 8 o'clock this morning. That is when the green light goes on for you to start winning $1,000 for being a Tolo. That's what turning it on, leaving it on stands for. Sean and RJ on your home of America's team. And Mike Fisher, our poll question this morning is, as a Cowboy fan, would you be worried if Jason Garrett got the Giants offensive coordinator job? He interviewed for that spot yesterday. How would you vote, Mike?
I think I know how the Tolo would vote.
Yeah.
But I do think when you step back and give it more of a 30,000-foot look, the idea of Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator in the NFL sounds like a success in the making. Can we agree on that? That'll probably work, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how good is Daniel Jones?
I bet you Daniel Jones is better if he's got guidance from Jason Garrett.
Yeah, sure.
Hasn't Jason Garrett had a lot of offensive talent in his Cowboy tenure? I always see debates over the offensive lines over the years, but I always remember good receivers. I always remember a Hall of Fame tight end. I always remember pretty good running backs, and I always remember a pretty good quarterback.
Real quick on that, Sean. Like his offense, the idea that his offensive lines were bad at times, in the transition years they were. 07 to 2009, that was a great line. Leonard Davis, Gerard, Colombo, Kozier, Flozell in their primes. That was a fantastic offensive line.
And look at how good these guys are. They're all first-round picks.
Yeah, and then these guys.
Jason Garrett has always had, in my opinion, very, very good talent.
Yeah, now, to be fair, again, one of the reasons they had good talent is because he helped get them and he helped develop them. So I don't think you can separate one from the other. I don't think you can say that all the good things were somebody else's credit and all the bad things were Jason Garrett's fault. In the end, if you think he was a fairly capable NFL head coach, and I guess that's fairly capable, then you would think that with reduced responsibilities focused on the thing he knows most about, offense versus defense or special teams, that he would be an even better offensive coordinator. I think it's a really good fit for the Giants. I think it makes a lot of sense with a 38-year-old head coach who's never done it before to have Jason Garrett as a right-hand man. I think it would be a good move for the Giants.
Right now, as you would expect, the Tolos saying 83% of them saying, no, I would not be worried about Jason Garrett being the OC for the Giants.
Yeah. Now, Sean, we should throw this in there. The idea that came up that weekend of the Patriots game clearly floated by his agents that Jason Garrett was going to get hired by the Giants immediately if the Cowboys didn't do something with his contract. That was obviously a plant from people who wanted Jason Garrett's name to get stirred up to the top of this thing, which obviously, even with the help of your man, Trent Dilfer, never quite happened.
Well, you and Trent Dilfer agreeing that Jason Garrett would be highly sought after if available. Do we have to give that statement a pass because his availability didn't really take place with a ton of jobs open?
No, I think I should get crushed just on the Giants alone. The Giants didn't even interview him?
Right.
How can that be? And his availability was kind of odd inside the Star. But I think the Giants knew if they wanted to interview Jason Garrett, even while he was still doing exit interviews with players, they could have done it. So the Ron Rivera to the Washington Redskins thing, that happened so quickly. Okay, that one can't count against him. But
Cleveland counts against. That's a stabilizing force for a bunch of immature frat boys, and they brought in a no-name.
In one of his hometowns. In one of Jason
Garrett's
hometowns.
Yeah, he's got Ohio roots, yeah. I mean, so, there's also, like, you know, not getting an offer the first 2 weeks after you get fired is not an indictment either.
It's an indictment not to get an interview. That is an indictment.
I predicted.
How can it not be? Hang on a sec. How can it not be an indictment? Name a great coach. If Sean Payton was available.
Bill Belichick went 4 years between jobs.
RJ, if Sean Payton Well, you were in this camp too. I actually have to throw you in with Fish and Trent Dilfer, not let you escape. If a great coach is available, they can get an interview within 2 weeks. You can't argue that.
No, they can, but again, like Fish said, Washington was gone and the Panthers were gone. And
his own blue blood organization, his own didn't interview him to be the head coach. His own organization.
With the Panthers weren't gone. The Panthers could have interviewed Jason Garrett and didn't bother. The Browns could have interviewed and didn't bother. The Giants could have interviewed and didn't bother. The only one that was gone was the Redskins. And so I think frankly, it's a failure on the part of Jason Garrett's representation, among other things, to not, for the status of it, to get him an interview in his two hometowns in New York and Cleveland. That's embarrassing.
Mike Fisher right here on The Fan. What's going on with the rest of the Cowboys staff?
All right, so let's rattle through this quickly. It's coming together in some ways that I think are interesting because you've definitely got – I mean, it's McCarthy's staff. This isn't DeJones' staff.
No.
That's pretty clear. There's also, though, there's old McCarthy guys that have credentials. There's some younger guys who happen to be of color, which I find to be important if you can find that mix. And so here we go. Kellen Moore stays as the offensive coordinator. I don't believe he'll be the play caller. I think McCarthy will be the play caller. John Kitna is out as the quarterback's coach. Doug Nussmeier moves over from tight ends to quarterbacks, as we've said for months here, about the handling of Dak, the management of Dak. Maybe too many cooks in the kitchen last year, so they'll have one fewer of those. We know that Mark Colombo is out in the offensive line, and I thought Colombo did a good job. Now, maybe we're biased towards him. Maybe this show is biased towards him. But this establishes, the Mark Colombo thing establishes, this is not always a meritocracy. And, in fact, he's being replaced by Joe Philbin, who'd been doing this for 22 years. Mark's been doing it for 22 months. So let's be fair to McCarthy. He picked his own guy, and it's Joe Philbin with all kinds of skins on the wall. I think Joe Philbin guys will also maybe be the assistant head coach by the time they get all the titles done, and he might be the running game coordinator as well. Let's see. Running backs, they really did try to get the University of Texas guy, Stan Drayton. I think that Texas might have money whipped him. And maybe, not that the Cowboys couldn't pay more if they wanted to, but maybe there's a certain kind of organizational pyramid to how much you want to pay the new running backs coach. And so instead, Skip Pete, Rodney Pete's brother's coming back here. Choppy, as you know, he was a running backs coach here a few years ago. So again, there's a guy who's done it before. Sanjay Lal is out at wide receiver coach. The guy interviewing this week is Brown's assistant, Adam Henry. And you guys know his history, Adam Henry?
No.
Everywhere that Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry go, he goes. Or vice versa.
So he goes to the LSU locker room?
Yeah, exactly. He was at LSU when they played there. He was with Beckham in New York when he played there. Then he went to Landry with the Browns, and then he was still with the Browns, of course, last year with the two of them. So he might find a lot of peace coming to the Cowboys wide receiver room if that's how it ends up. The tight end thing is really interesting.
Yep.
Obviously, they – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yep. I'm dying to hear what you have to say about the possibility of Witten.
Okay, so they bring in Lunda Wells. He's the new tight ends coach, formerly of the Giants. Is Jason Witten willing, assuming he retires, to just go be an offensive assistant? Just you don't have a title. You're cutting up film and you're writing down cards and you're grabbing a broom, which I think is a great idea. Is Jason Witten, the regal Jason Witten, willing to do that?
I mean,
maybe he just wants to retire for a year.
What am I missing? I know he's a legend and he knows more about the tight end position than the guy probably coming in. Why would Jason Witten not have to go through those steps?
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
He could be named the new head coach at Tennessee. So he would say, yeah, I could get a head coaching job somewhere, but I mean, this is how it works.
So this is the kind of the way it works. Unless you're Dion, who said, I don't have time to be a coordinator. I want to be the head coach.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Dion doesn't have time to be in anything because you have to show up to do it. Jason Witten would show up to be whatever his job was, I think. But, Sean, as you know, 2 weeks ago, we had knucklehead saying Jason Witten might be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And I'm going, no. He needs to be the assistant special teams coach and learn how to coach. If
secrets in the dirt. Secrets in the dirt. That's Jason saying.
So get down there in the dirt and relearn new secrets, because coaching ain't playing.
Yeah, Colombo didn't become the offensive line coach immediately. He did other grunt work.
He did indeed. And still maybe when Colombo looks back on this, still maybe Mike say, you know what, maybe it should have gone a little slower. Maybe I got the position coach job too fast.
Well,
maybe.
I would disagree with that, because they improved from over the years. He was a fix. He's just not Mike McCarthy's cup of tea. I wonder, you know, this whole, is it Jerry's staff? Is it McCarthy's? I wonder, I'm dying to know if there was a Witten discussion, or does all this just mean that Jason has decided to play next year?
I obviously, of course, put in a call to Jason Witten. I have not heard back yet. I would love to have Jason let us know. Hey, first of all, we're not doing a press conference, right?
No.
We're not doing another retirement press conference.
Oh, no.
We're not doing a press conference to announce he's coming back. And you don't get a press conference when you take the job as assistant offensive assistant with a broom. So one way or the other, I think we're going to hear quickly. Witten said before week 17 that he would make a quick decision. So I'm ready for it.
Mike Fisher.
On defense. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mike Fisher here on the fan. Go ahead. Sorry.
Rod Marinelli going to the Raiders. Jim Tomsula is the new defensive line coach. Chris Richard, of course, is out. You got a new defensive coordinator in Mike Nolan. I'm going to do a story today. You'll find it on social media at Fish Sports about this emphasis on takeaways. And Nolan was always big on it in San Francisco. And, of course, Mike McCarthy's always big on it in Green Bay. But how do you do it? The Cowboys' secondary, can we agree on this? That's the they're the worst takeaway secondary in all of football over the course of the last decade. I don't even have to look up the stats. I just can feel it. Agreed?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't try to do takeaways. That's their problem.
Okay, maybe they don't draft guys that are good at it. Maybe they're too into, like, traits. Maybe it's because we have a bend-but-don't-break philosophy around here, and so they don't give up 40-yard passes, but they also don't get interceptions. I don't really know, Chop, exactly what it is, but this team, okay, Charles Woodson, remember him in Green Bay?
Sure.
Now, obviously, nobody on this roster, they don't have a Charles Woodson in their secondary, granted. Charles Woodson averaged almost, over the course of 4 years in Green Bay, 7 interceptions a year. That's as many as the Cowboys get as a team. So can you change that philosophically by having Mike Nolan here, Jim Tomsula here? We will see, because if you could, you've just turned around this defense. Maurice Linguist will be one of the secondary coaches. I don't know what they've done yet with Greg Jackson. They are still working on finalizing linebacker coach. I think Leon Lett's still in the building, so he may get to hang around helping on the defensive line. And we know Keith O'Quinn is not going to be the special teams boss because Bones Fossil is. And then they've made the change that we've talked about now for a long time as the strength and conditioning coach for a long time. Mike Wojcik and all those rings is out, and maybe a more modern approach to strength and conditioning will be in.
We got a minute. Your thoughts on Drew Pearson?
Well, heartbreaking, of course, in terms of his video appearance and his cordiality when it comes to inviting the media into his home to watch that. It was horrible. I've said it a million times. I'm going to say it again. If you are the best player at your position for a decade and then the best player at your position for another decade and then don't get in the Hall of Fame when there's only been 10 decades, something's wrong with the math. The Hall of Fame is too exclusive. And now I think we're going to find out specifically on Drew Pearson that it's too political. How could Harold Carmichael, who was judged to be inferior to Drew Pearson when they played, get in the Hall of Fame ahead of Drew Pearson? Sean, I think I have the answer. I think somebody in that room said, of these 15 Centennial guys, we are not voting in 3 of them Cowboys. We are not making 3 of the 15 Cowboys. Mm. That's too many. Mm. That's ridiculous. Mm. Jimmy, Cliff, and Drew, that's too many. And you can see their point. So somebody says, so therefore I'm not voting those 3. And somebody over here says, I'll tell you what, if you vote for Harold Carmichael, I'll give you a Cowboy. And the next thing you know, Harold Carmichael's in, and Cliff Harris is in, and Drew Pearson's not. And here's what sucks about it. This was Drew's last chance. I hate to say this. When's the next Centennial class? In another 100 years?
Senior committee next year.
but he's been passed over for 30 years.
Yeah.
See, there's more. There's going to be more senior candidates next year that you haven't even heard of yet. There's a lot of Ed Hinkles out there. And every year that goes by, we're forgetting about the Ed Hinkles. We're forgetting about the Drew Pearsons. One of these years, there's going to be a time when there's clearly seven guys that deserve to get the Hall. Nope, maximum six. Sorry. The rules are stupid. The exclusivity is stupid. And the politics are sickening.
Text me the Porzingis panic level since you couldn't adhere to the minute disclaimer. Thank you, Mike Fisher, our Cowboy and Maverick insider.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.